Who are some second round picks that teams could capitalize on to get immediate value or long-term value out of the NBA draft just in 3 weeks away? Coming up on Locked On NBA Big Board.
You are Locked On NBA Big Board, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Big shout out to everybody who makes Locked On NBA Big Board your first listen of the day. We all really appreciate it. I'm Richard Stamen. You probably know me better as at Mavs Draft on Twitter, NBA Draft Film on Instagram. I'm filling in for Rafael Barlow. He's out on the in the field doing some road stuff, covering. I can't talk too much about it, but he's covering some in-depth draft quality film. So he's out there doing his thing. He's killing it. I'm filling in for him to close out the week. But again, thank you to everybody who makes us your first listen of the day, whether it's me, Sam, or Rafael. I'm clearly having trouble talking today. Hopefully by the end of this, I'm better. But wanted to talk today just simply about some first round guys that may slip into the second round, some second round guys that could provide good value. Let's just focus honestly on guys that are mostly mocked 25 and later, because I think at this point, when you get to 25, on at least on mock drafts, like anything can go, right? Someone may go, well, actually, we like someone else a little bit more that isn't at this spot, but we don't feel like there's a way to get them anywhere else. So they may reach and take somebody. Therefore, good value pops up in the 30s. There's a reason the low 30s, at least like 30 to 37, generally has the same hit rate around the late to mid 20s as well. There's minimal drop off. So let's talk about some of the guys. I've picked out a few names that I think could be just high quality impact players. And for this, I'm excluding anybody out in my top 25, I would say maybe 28 even. Really, the list starts for me at 29. Like I'm just going to list my 29th best player. I think this is somebody who's going to go within the first five picks of the second round. And that is Trayce Jackson-Davis. If you've followed anything I've done or the show for the last year, this should not come as a surprise. I love Trayce Jackson-Davis. I'm a Mavs guy. I've seen Dwight Powell as a pick-and-roll big who doesn't have many ball skills. He doesn't play a bunch of defense. Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to have a very similar role to him in the fact that he's going to be playing as a role man. He's going to be playing near the paint. He's going to be somebody who he has more ball skills than is giving credit for. I love his defense. Unreal athlete. And there might be some hidden shooting upside in there as well. That's something that a lot of people haven't seen. I got to see him at his pro day and in the combine where he was forced to shoot. And to me, it just really seemed like, hey, you know, he shot 70% of the line, 69% of the line. Maybe there is something there. And he doesn't need to shoot to be good. That's why it doesn't worry me that he doesn't shoot. That's always the big knock is, oh, how can you be a modern big when you don't shoot? But in reality, there's a lot of bigs that don't shoot. And honestly, like, let's look at Steven Adams in Ivica Zubac. Sure, they may not play the playoffs the entire way, but you're not drafting like Trayce Jackson-Davis to be a playoff starting big. You're drafting him to play those minutes and fill in those minutes as a big, just a rotational big. That's what you want. And for me, that's why I think Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to be their ball skills, defense. He can really pass. I mean, he was one of the most dominant players really in college basketball. He averaged 20 points a game. He wasn't just doing this on pick and rolls and always post-ups. He has handles. He averaged 4 assists a game, just under a steal game, 3 blocks a game. Like, it is really impressive what he does. Shot 58% from the field back-to-back years, even knowing what he's going to do. Teams know what he's going to do. So I like Trayce Jackson-Davis. I think he could be great value. Somebody else who I think might fall there. I go back and forth on this player because I was talking to somebody who's pretty high ranked in the draft community. And I think, look, this guy has some shortcomings, but he has one elite skill to fall back on. He's 7 foot and can shoot. And his name is Tristan Vucevic. I've heard multiple pronunciations. I've heard it's actually Vucevic. Seen Vucevic just like Nikola Vucevic. Heard it all, but I think it's actually Vucevic. And with him, it's a simple scouting report. I mean, he's 7 foot. He's unblockable. He's been blocked 3 times. Only one of those was jumpers for the entire season this year. That's incredible. Most guys in college, they get blocked multiple times on their jumpers, not him. So I think Tristan Vucevic could be somebody that when you look at him as just, you know, he's not going to play defense. Defense is very much on his weakness list. He can rebound. He can finish at the rim. He oddly shot for the season. I posted his shot chart on my scouting report. He was 48 of 60 at the rim. Like, that's an insane number. Whether or not you're a big, 80% is just absurd. And if you can finish what you're supposed to finish, right? Those easy cuts, those easy shots at the rim. Do what you're supposed to do, and then also shoot from three and have very sustainable form, percentages, things like that. I think he's going to be somebody who goes in within the top 45. And he's going to be somebody also who, there are so many teams that don't have any shooters that are above 6'10 that are useful in the rotation. One that always comes to mind, the Mavs have one player that's 6'10 or taller that can shoot, and that's Maxi Kleba. And he's an average shooter at best. Yes, the Mavs would need defense with him, but if they got Vucevic, I mean, I think it's somebody that you add an element of shooting that just unlocks a five-out offense. He really makes it, he enables, I would say, to teams to be able to play a five-out offense. So I really like him. I'm going to move away from bigs, and I'm going to talk about Ben Shepherd. I think he is somebody who made a name for himself at the NBA Combine, had a monster game. I want to say he had like 25 points on 8 of 12 shooting or something like that. For him, he doesn't have a high free throw percentage, and ball handling versus pressure isn't super great. That's something where, will it scale up against higher level competition? I don't know. And if it does, you get a hit because he's got NBA range on his jumper. Again, the free throw percentage is a stronger indication than anything eye test or 3-point percentage can tell. But sometimes where it's like, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? And this is kind of the opposite sense in a positive way, but where he has NBA range range on his jumper. His form looks good. I got to see him perform at the combine in person, also at his pro day. There's really no fundamental flaws on his jumper. So I really like him. His defense should be really good. His footwork's strong. He's intelligent. He can make up for mistakes. Really all it is for me is how quickly and easily does he translate up from the Ohio Valley Conference. He played at Belmont. Could he be somebody that scales up? I really like him. He's comfortable passing. Like, he's just a modern off guard. And for me, that's what I really like about him. I think he's solid. He's somebody who I think he sticks. So those are three guys I really like to start. I'm going to talk about some more just scattered around the 30s as well, because I think it's a fascinating draft just in general, but the depth in this class is really good, even with 20 plus names withdrawing the other night. So let's talk about that. But first, let's talk about FanDuel. Right now, if you make a fast break, you should make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA Finals. Because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 right now. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. I've used FanDuel before in the past for several years. I use a fantasy league on there. It's very reliable. They always have really good promotions too, just in other areas when I started exploring it. This is well before actually they even became part of the Locked On sponsorship. And I really like them. It's always been safe and secure. I've never had to worry about anything like that. Get paid instantly. There's no worries about that. You get all the benefits of a big company like FanDuel, and then also not having to worry about anything going through and, you know, them taking any private information, anything like that. I really like that. So there's no better place to bet on all the playoff action, as well as the MLB, anything like that, than America's number one sports book, FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel is the official sports betting partner of the NBA. So, talking a little bit more about these second round sleepers, I'm going to break these up into a few more. Someone I like is next on the list. I'll go back to back. These are actually really, I feel like I'm still too low on these guys. I have them ranked 43rd and 44th. One of them I actually just posted the scouting report today, and that's Jaime Jaquez out of UCLA. He's a tweener in almost all the right ways. And it's interesting because on one hand, he's a 6'6 forward who doesn't play translatable defense is how I would put it, even though he was a two-time all Pac-12 defense guy. It's hard because, is he athletic enough to defend? He can get burned on islands. I think UCLA did a very good job of hiding him on isolation. They didn't let him get switched on to anybody. I think he's somebody that could be really fascinating in the second round. To me, the comparison there, I put Grant Williams with less defense. If you remember him at Tennessee, he was kind of that point forward at times. He ran the offense a lot, ran through him. He had self-creation ability within 15 to 20 feet. And that's really what a lot of Jaime Jaquez does. And for me, I really think his ability to get to his spots how he wants to is strong. Now, will he be able to do it in quicker offense in the half court? Hard to say. But I think when you give him, you know, a triple threat in a quick offense and, you know, NBA spacing, could work. He has a patented move. His half spin turnaround jumper is one of the best in college basketball. You have to have an elite signature skill to fall back on, and he has that. So I really like Jaime Jaquez. I think he's somebody who you can run an offense through. He can run the pick and roll. It's almost rare for a forward like him. He has good vision, pass as well. Shot is a swing skill, but I think ultimately he can be really good as well. The other one, I have this guy 44th on my board. And if you remember the NCAA tournament with Furman upsetting Virginia, I really like Jalen Slauson. He was a two-time Southern Conference Defensive Player of the Year and also just a Southern Conference Player of the Year twice. So he's been on the radar for the last couple of years. He had a really impressive year. This is his fifth year, auto-eligible. Had an okay combine, kind of just blended in. But we got to see measurements, and he measured very well, 6'7.5". Kind of ideal for a modern small forward. Maybe he has to play a power forward, so underwhelming in that regard, but a small forward, it's fine. 7-foot wingspan, 8'10" standing reach. I thought that was really impressive. That was among the better ones of any forwards. Monster defensively. I mean, it goes without saying when somebody wins, and this is kind of contradicting everything I just said about Jaime Jaquez, but when you win the defensive player of the year and you're on the conference defense, all defense list, you're probably a good defender. And you at least know what you're doing. And kind of to tie it back to Jaquez, like Jaime Jaquez is really intelligent. He's going to create more positive plays on defense than he's going to create negative. So, and with Slauson, he's a really good athlete. He's strong, has great size. He's intelligent. I'm banking on that translating up from the Southern Conference. It's always hard when you're going from that low of competition, but he's a good rebounder. And then when you look at the offense, it's hard to find many players with a better pump fake, excluding like Serge Ibaka Rice, who has, I think, the best pump fake I've ever seen. So when you look at Jalen Slauson, he gets that pump fake. His head fake's nice. If you're watching on YouTube, I did the head nod. It wasn't just being like nobody's in the background or anything. I just was doing his, just reenacting it in my head. And he gets to his spot so easily, being able to use that pump fake, use his eyes as deception, gets his man up in the air, and he is athletic. He is explosive. He has no problem throwing it down on someone else, and he can finish through contact in that way. He's explosive. Like I said, he can pass. He can finish at the rim. Very creative. He makes his teammates better. It's someone, it's kind of cliche, but it's true. The real issues for him are he does need to get a little bit stronger. Post-ups can in the Southern Conference got him pretty hard. I worry about what that would look like in the NBA for him to truly play the small ball five. At times, he can telegraph some of his difficult passes. That's mostly out of the post, so I'm not super worried about that, but is that some more indicative of the bigger picture? Hard to say. Has to reduce turnovers and tighten his handle. And also, he's a little bit old. He's going to be 24 just right after opening night this season. So for me, though, I have him as like a more athletic Kyle Anderson. And let's be real, how many teams in the second round could use a Kyle Anderson, especially ones like, say, Cleveland? They have a pick in the 40s. I think they would out, like, they have the, let's see, they have the 48th pick. I know I talked about early second round picks, but look, if he falls that far or goes that far, I don't know if it's necessarily a fall, he'd be great value. I really like him as a forward that can connect the tissue and everything like that. It's a common phrase we like to use. I think he's really intriguing in that regard. So and those are a couple more forwards I like. I want to talk about some guards. You can probably predict, if you know anything about me, who at least two of these names will be, and I'm going to round it all out. But first, I'm going to let a word from our sponsors get in here. So thank you for making Locked On NBA Big Board again your first listen every single day, listening to us, supporting to us all across the year. There's been several of you that have been watching this show on YouTube, listening wherever you get your podcasts. Again, we're free everywhere and every day. You've been listening since the dog days of the offseason for the draft, which is like August, September, kind of July. And we really appreciate that. So that does not go unnoticed. We see the feedback, and it means the world to us. So I want to talk about guards. I've kind of gone over some bigs, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Slauson, Tristan Vucevic. I would like to talk about some guards now. And those are the guys who they're kind of redundant, but it's a guards league. So again, if you know anything about me, you know one of you know who two of these are. And I'll start with the most obvious first, and that is Mike Miles at TCU. I'm from Dallas. I went to almost every TCU home game for the last 2 years. I didn't go during the COVID years because of COVID, but I did watch every game of his. And I've seen Mike Miles' full development. I've seen some of his stuff from high school when he was playing with Cade Cunningham. Just some quick background on him. I mean, Mike Miles is somebody who, believe this or not, he's 3 months older than Brandon Miller, who's a freshman, and he's 4 months older than the Thompson twins who were playing in high school. So when you look at Mike Miles, he is not your average junior. He is the youngest upperclassman in the country, turns 21 in August. So 2 full months after the draft, I think actually almost to the date, which is pretty absurd. And let me fact check myself here, but I'm pretty sure it's to the date and to the actually even more. He August 24th, the draft is June 22nd. But with Mike, there's a couple issues. Wingspan basically square. Stop me if you've heard this about a TCU guard in the past, like Desmond Bain. But look, with Mike Miles, the dude is just a straight up gamer. I don't know what he's like necessarily in practice or anything, but in game, he can use both hands. He developed a ton as a junior. His jump shot improved. His 3-point percentage went from the 20s to 36. His free throw percentage is good. He got to the rim a ton. He added weight in the best way, added muscle to get himself stronger and be able to finish through contact for an entire game. Whereas last year he was able to do it for a half. He'd slow down, play a little more contact averse. And now he's able just to go full speed 100% of the time. And nobody can stop him getting to the rim because he's so fast. And then on defense, like, yeah, he's not going to contest many shots well. It's the same problem again Desmond Bain had because of that length. But at the same time, he knows where to be. He's not going to be a liability, I don't think, on defense, despite the size, because he's so smart. And he's got active hands. I just think he's somebody who, when you look at what the modern point guard needs to be, especially like a backup one off the bench, why can't he be one of the good ones? And he's also very young. Like when you're looking at the development curve, if you believe in the upside being good at many things, but not like expert level at a lot at such a young age, but with the room to really grow from good to great in a lot of areas, Mike Miles might be your guy. And that's why for me, I have him as like a Jalen Brunson prototype. I mean, the names I wrote down is for over the last 3 years, I've said, all right, he is a blend. If you put all four of these guys together, he's a little bit of Fred VanVleet, Jalen Brunson, Jameer Nelson, and Tyus Jones. Like, and it's a weird blend, but just the way he's an intelligent, likely just point guard. He's a guy who does some of, it's not sexy work, but he will get the job done. He makes his teammates better. He didn't have much shooting next to him. TCU is one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country, and Mike Miles was not an issue there. He was the best shooter on the team. So his assists only being 2.7 a game, he would look for shooters a lot, but his shooters just didn't make shots. So I think when you get him in the NBA, he's going to be doing a lot better. And also, he's just so young. He's going to learn a lot. I'm really in on him. And then also, if you know me really well, Isaiah Wong. Come on. You had to know this was coming. Isaiah Wong is my guy. I've been out to Miami. I went out last year to go see him in person training before the draft, and then he withdrew. This year was his kind of do or die year. It was, you have to stay in the draft. If you declare, you have to be in the draft. If you don't declare, you're going next year. And he decided to declare. I think he did the right thing. For me, it's, you look at how he measured well. He played at the combine very well. He was a score first guard. I know for a fact, I overheard some teams at the combine talking about how, you know, he didn't pass as much as they like. They were like, does this guy ever pass? Is he just going to look out for himself? And he does have to answer that, because for me, the one question I have is, a lot of times, like, he's, I think, the best space creator from college basketball this year, like, hands down. His space creation moves are incredible. He reminds me a lot of Trey Mann in that regard, where those ankle breakers and things like that. And for me, my one question is, I'm a huge, you know, supporter of Isaiah Wong, but my one question really lies in, can he do it in quick offense? Can he, because a lot of what he does, he sets it up for like 5-10 seconds, but in the NBA, you can't do that. That's just not something you can do. And for me, I think that's where he's got to answer that question. So if he can do that, I'm confident. The jump shot has been better. He improved every single thing teams wanted to see from him. I know the feedback he got last year was about his jumper, and he did it. 38% from three, 84.5% from the line. The free throw percentage has always been strong, so I think he'll be able to shoot even with a weird dip. He's got long arms, very quick first step, great floater, kills the pick and roll, intelligent on defense. He's going to play well in quick offense. What's there not to like? And that's my whole thing is, really, what is there not to like? I want to include Marcus Sasser in here, who's a great shooter, but I actually think he might go first round. If not, he is somebody who is kind of like the other guys I've listed here. He could be just like a veteran impact right away. He shot the lights out at the combine, and I've heard he's been doing the same thing in pre-draft workouts. I think he's rising where he might get a first round bid. Last year, he was hurt, probably would have declared. Not super efficient, 44%, but I mean, the 3-point percentage has been there every single year. Great free throw percentage. Creates for others, already plays a winning role like he did at Houston. I really like him. I'll give two more names that I think are valuable, and no longer am I going to stick with guards, but I'll do one at the top of my 30s. I don't know if this guy actually goes that high, but Keontae Johnson, man. Look, there's some stuff off the court, both health and just some charges overhead where teams need to clear that up. That's not for me to do. That's for the teams, but that goes without, I think that's an important background here. But with Keontae Johnson, he measured really well. He has a 7-foot wingspan. And I knew he had long arms, but 7-foot wingspan at 6'5 with an insanely quick first step. He's versatile, very good finisher at the rim. He's a good athlete. He shot 63% at the rim on 236 rim attempts. He shot really well from three also. I mean, he shot 40.5% from three. Yeah, 71.5% of the line's not where you want it to be, but I think ultimately there's a lot to like. He gets long closeouts. He's a good defender. He just has that raw outline of what you want in a wing. Athletic, shoots, and defense. And to me, that's somebody who, when you look at the second round and he can play off ball, there's an easy way for him to get on the court. Like teams want, GMs love that question. It's, what can you do for me to get on the court right now? And Keontae Johnson answers that with, hey, I can play off ball really well. I'm going to surprise you on defense. I'm really athletic. And you know what? Yeah, I'm older than most of my peers, but also I've been cleared for the reason I'm older than them in this draft, which is a heart issue from 2020 when he collapsed against Florida State. So I think he's somebody who is great value. Let the teams do the research on the off-court stuff with a heart in the criminal charges, but that's not for me. I think that's somebody else that could be really good. And then I'm going to give a shout out to one other guy this is a later second rounder, but I do think this is somebody who is so obviously hiding in plain sight. And that is Landers Nolley out of Cincinnati. I got to see him at his Young Money Pro Day. He played really well at the G League Elite Camp the first day, and then the second day in the scrimmage wasn't so great, but he shot the lights out everywhere in Chicago. He was 22 of 25 on threes in the drills that he did at the G League Camp. He shot the lights out at his pro day. Everywhere that teams got to see him in a practice setting, he shot the lights out, and that's huge. Also, he's 6'6". He measured with a 6'11 wingspan. Has great off the dribble scoring. I warned you at the beginning, my talking ability today has just been weak, and I apologize for that. But he uses his size to his advantage on defense. He loves being physical. He embraces the contact really as a defender. He was in the 89th percentile as a scorer off the dribble, very efficient from the mid-range. If you watch him, he loves that corner mid-range. That's his spot. Very good rebounder. He has a quick release on his jumper, fundamental form. I mean, it's tough to block. He has a good runner. All the shooting indications are there. And he shot 75% from the line, 42% from three. There's only a few things that I've heard are concerns for him. One, he was at, I think, three schools in 4 years. So he's got to answer that. Why did you transfer so much? Yeah, it's kind of the nature of the game. But what else went on? Was it that, is there coachability issues, things like that? And I don't know this. Again, that's for teams to decide. But the only other issues I have are his finishing at the rim, underwhelming. He was kind of contact averse. He would go out of control just to avoid contact. And, on drives, he also doesn't get great lift. But look, if you're looking for just a shooting, like if you're looking for 3-and-D with Landers Nolley, you at least got that. And he can pass. I think his passing is actually very special. This is a note I've had since he was at at Virginia Tech, which was his first school that he was at. Then he went to Memphis. But he sees through and over defenses, has great vision. And he's just able to find teammates. Like I feel like he is somebody who makes his teammates better, both by passing and by his own scoring. He uses his scoring gravity in college. How will he do in the NBA? We'll see. But I think he's got great measurements, great shooting, just great tools. I don't see why he can't be a top 45 pick. I have him just outside of that range. Again, just because I've heard some teams have reservations about how many teams he played for in college, things like that. But if you're just looking at the talent evaluation, why is he not up there? So those are my guys that I really like. Just to recap, so I went through Trace Jackson Davis of Indiana, Tristan Vucevic of Partizan out overseas, Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Slauson, Ben Shepherd, Isaiah Wong, Mike Miles, Landers Nolly, and I just drew a blank on who the last one was that I was just talking about, but Marcus Sasser as well. So those are some guys. If you're a fan of a team that doesn't have a bunch of picks in the any picks in the first round, but has a pick, like say you're a Boston Celtics fan, your team just got eliminated, and I apologize for bringing that sore spot up. There's some really good value you can get in with the new CBA being strict on the end of roster spots. You got to hit in the draft. So Boston's got to capitalize. I think it'd be really good. Same goes for like Cleveland and anybody else. There's going to be teams that pop up, Phoenix, things like that. I think there's a lot of value in the early second round for teams to find a gold mine. So thank you so much for listening. Again, my name is Richard Stamen. It's right here. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. Sorry I left the ad up for the entirety of the second segment, but really appreciate you listening. We'll be back on Monday. Rafael will be here. Excited for him to tell you what he's been covering out in the field. And thank you very much. Have a good rest of your weekend.